Lesson number one. Christmas is a powerful reminder that what is important in heaven is often unimportant on earth. Christmas is a powerful reminder that what is important in heaven is often unimportant on earth. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered." This time of year, we often see a year in review where the major stories are brought back up and we see a listing of the main headlines of the last year and celebrities who have died. There's something to capturing history. And according to the Bible, the single most important event anticipated in human history was not captured as a main headline. The main headlines were how the great nephew of Julius Caesar, Octavian, had just been crowned the new Caesar. We know him by the name Augustus. It was given to him by the Roman Senate as a way to confer godlike status upon him. To most of the world, Caesar was God. Life would forever be Roman, and for the Jewish people, the dream of a Messiah king was all but dead, except to the minority who actually read and studied and believed the Word of God. Caesar Augustus demanded a census, as I just referenced a second ago, and that move forced a village carpenter and his pregnant teenage bride to make a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a journey that undoubtedly taxed the strength of this young woman. But what he didn't know was the baby in the womb of this peasant woman was the very King of Kings, the Messiah, the promised one that Israel had longed for, the one whose birth would change the world forever. The most significant life in the history of the world was in Mary's womb. It was not sitting on top of the world in Rome. The baby inside was not a Caesar who fashioned himself as a god, but he was the very God of the universe, God in the flesh. The night Jesus was born, Caesar, Herod, Israel, and the nation should have all been there to bow down. But it wasn't a main headline. Christmas is a powerful reminder that what is important in heaven is often unimportant on earth. Lesson number two. Christmas isn't just for the insiders, but for outsiders. I wonder how many of you ever participated in a Christmas play or a live nativity scene. Each year, adults and children this time of year put on bathrobes to act the part of shepherds, and there's not much more said about that particular role. Shepherds are mostly sentimental, but in the first century, nobody thought shepherds were warm, sentimental, and cute. And certainly nobody thought they were important. They were the first to know, though, about Christmas. And in our fallen wisdom, wouldn't the appearing of Christ make more sense in the presence of human greatness? But this announcement and this appearing to the shepherds, isn't that interesting? As you heard read a second ago in the same region in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a great multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth, the people he favors." Why did God choose these men to be the first to learn about the true meaning of Christmas? I mean, their presence in the manger, friends, shows us this important lesson that salvation is for everyone. For any who would repent of their sins and trust in Christ. Shepherds didn't have a great reputation. They lived out in the fields. They were unable to keep the ceremonial laws. And they were treated often as unclean. And scholars note that they were often regarded as liars or thieves. And often their testimony was inadmissible in a court of law. Shepherds were loathed by many. With the exception of lepers, they were the lowest class of men in Israel. Yet these were the men God wanted to hear the gospel. Working class sinners. Isn't that something? These men could have likely been the shepherds who supplied the lambs for the temple sacrifices that were performed for the forgiveness, symbolically, of sin. And here the angels invited these shepherds to greet the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. Like everything else around about the birth of Christ, this upsets our expectations. There's something in us as humans and mankind that has to create a VIP section, that has to be able to think of the VIPs get these kinds of things. No, not here. We think that God is for the good and for the privileged in our minds, when in fact he is for needy sinners who are dirty in their sins, desperate for grace. Who better to exalt Christ than lowly shepherds? What a picture of humanity. We don't even know their names. And something tells me after they saw the babe and witnessed that great testimony, they were like, don't mention our names, please. It's about him. If God had grace for them, he has grace for any poor sinner who will come to Jesus in faith, and Christ will not turn them away. The good news of the coming of the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world, announced among lambs set aside for the temple sacrifice and in the city of David, Israel's last and great shepherd. This is God declaring to his people that Jesus, both the good shepherd and he's also the Lamb of God, was coming to make true peace between God and man. But Jesus can only be our Savior if we know that we ourselves are unclean and outcast. That we do not deserve salvation, but in our sins we deserve judgment. And so when we see them, we see ourselves. Christmas isn't just for the insiders, but for outsiders. Lesson number 3. Christmas highlights the amazing humility of Jesus. The presence of the shepherds in the Christmas story tells us a little bit about just what kind of Messiah Jesus would be. I mean, already expectations should be shifting. He would come to us as a Savior, as a King, as a Lion, but also as a Shepherd. Though their vocation was not viewed with respect by their peers, Scripture always portrays shepherding as a high calling. Perhaps the most repeated image of leadership in the Bible is that of a shepherd. God refers to himself as Israel's shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's right. You can't help but see the announcement of the coming of Jesus, who called himself the Good Shepherd, had to happen here in a shepherd's field among those who lead sheep. And so Luke is telling us that this ruler who is to come would be different than the rulers his people were used to seeing. He wouldn't be a Caesar who ruled only by brute force. He wouldn't be a Herod who governed by treachery, murder, and paranoia. No, Jesus would be among all of his attributes a shepherd, and he would entrust himself and his message to shepherds, by the way. And the humility of his birth became the whole pattern for Jesus' life, born in a manger. And his birth was announced to shepherds who lived out in the fields. What could be more lowly and unassuming than this king's birth? And Jesus humbled himself in his life all the way to his death on the cross. And there are hints of this already right here at his birth. The sufferings that commenced with his incarnation culminated with his crucifixion at Calvary's cross. The same body that was wrapped in swaddling cloths was also wrapped in a burial shroud. The manger points to the cross and to the grave, showing how we are saved by the humility and service of our Savior. Jesus had to come down to help you and me, because we could not go to God. Who knew better than these men, hanging by this newly born child, the ultimate fate of each lamb for which they cared? I wonder what they were thinking if they saw the reality, what was right in front of them. They were looking at the lamb who had come to be the final sacrifice, who would offer himself once and for all. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. This is God again declaring to his people that Jesus, both the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God, was coming to make true peace between God and man. But do we have room in our lives, friends, if we look at Jesus, we have to ask, do we have room in our lives to be arrogant and superior and self-righteous, even unteachable to God's word? No, absolutely not. Christmas highlights the amazing humility of Jesus. Lesson number 4. Christmas calls everyone to trust in Jesus. Christmas calls everyone to trust in Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. The world of the first century was pretty cynical. Things haven't changed that much in the world as far as sin goes, right? Same sins in Genesis are still with us today. Same sins and mindsets and attitudes of the first century are still with us. False messiahs had come and gone. The promise of restoration seemed more like a pipe dream to many in Israel. The Roman flag waved high above the Temple Mount. And yet here were people still willing to be in awe of God. They possessed great fear. And wouldn't you? You're a lowly shepherd in a backwater town in a ravaged land. All of a sudden, the heavens open, the angels start singing. Yeah, you'd be fearful too. But friends, that is the place to start, is to have fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, for he has the power and authority to judge and to cast us all who have not bowed the knee to him into judgment. God would be just to do so. Jesus said to fear the one who can kill both the body and condemn the soul to hell. Do you fear God? Are you thinking that you just go through life for many more years, and as you get older perhaps, then you'll start thinking about God? Maybe make a deathbed decision about God? You presume too much. Today is the day to start thinking about it. You must come now. There's something wonderful about the ability to still be in awe of God. Many are hardened to the Lord. You know, perhaps you're too enlightened to believe in the supernatural. And yet Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Real spirituality is a healthy awe, a reverence and fear of God, to know that you're nothing and that God is awesome. The closer you are to heaven, the greater your fear and awe of God. Not fear in a sense of being scared, but at being in awe of him. These men had the fear of God in their hearts. They heard the witness and the revelation of God, and they believed. Simple faith to look up, to listen, to put their faith in God's word. To trust in Christ. Christmas calls everyone to trust in Jesus. Here's some closing thoughts. I hope that this Christmas season your heart is open to awe and wonder, my friends. It's easy to treat our religious traditions, especially Christmas, as a sort of ho-hum affair. But God encourages those who are responding to him in fear and awe and in faith. Have we stopped what we are doing long enough, my beloved brothers and sisters, to see what God is doing around us this time of year? Dads, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do to make this season sweet-smelling like Christ in your home? Are you going to sit back and be served or seek to serve? Moms, what are you going to do? Are you going to fret and compare yourselves to others? Or are you going to do all you can do to image Christ? What about you who are not married? Young adults, or for a number of reasons, other adults who are not married, or children in the room, are you going to go devotional-less, worship-less through the whole season and wonder why you get depressed thinking on yourself and talking about yourself and never inquiring about another person this Christmas season? Heaven, help us. We need to turn from that. We have been sought by the Lord, pursued by His love. Are you willing to be awed by an awesome and powerful God and by the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus Christ? I want to invite you to make the most of the rest of this holiday season, this Christmas season, to meditate and lift your hands to heaven and praise God for the mystery and wonder of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And to those who are separated from God tonight, I pray that you will see Jesus as that seeking shepherd, lovingly pursuing you who are lost, and see him also as that Lamb of God given on Calvary's cross in sacrifice for you. Turn to Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus. Be saved. Christ will forgive you, cleanse you, and he can give you the power to change. There's no one like Jesus. And so this year could be the first year you actually celebrate Christmas in truth. Come to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, there are so many lessons as we meditate on Lord, the celebration time here at Christmas and the gift of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, Lord, in the fact that you love us, that you care for us, Lord, and that you are completely worthy of our trust. And there's no comfort on earth like the Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us tonight, we pray. And bring, Lord, to yourself those who are lost by the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.